Rather, this system is marked by how you take charge of your life and hold yourself accountable to those around you. It is very easy to attempt to help others and receive pushback, which can make giving up seem the best choice. But it takes true leadership skills to step back and understand why those following you are having a hard time doing so. It takes the first true act of selflessness to put someone else's life as equally important as your own, when they haven't established nearly as much or contributed to society much less than we do. Being a great leader when all is great is easy, but being a great leader when all else fails takes all the mastered components of the first circle in order for you to emerge victorious. This is the real decider that helps you leave the second circle and get on your way to the third circle. Imagine how much emotional control and mind power it takes to put yourself second to individuals who, at some point in your life, you believed were well below yourself. Imagine the power it takes to put your own happiness second to others whom you don't even know or have never met. Do you know many or any people capable of that? Here is a real-life example of how I exercise different leadership roles every day and, as a result, define my own life path. In my younger years, as I was learning to manage people, I discovered that I had a unique gift for helping people, the ability to shelter my emotions and think with my head. I leveraged whom I hired, not only to teach them how to be more effective in their jobs, but to help them be successful in life. As I learned more, I became more effective in my execution. My methods of teaching became less conventional and harsher, but were necessary in order to help others. I put my job on the line every day, going above and beyond my responsibility as a vice president of a company that paid me a handsome salary. I did so because these people were great and deserved great leadership. While many disagreed with me or felt it wasn't my right to help them in other ways, those who did welcome the help will forever prosper from what they've learned. They will help others as well. I chose to take the risk of losing my job for the sake of others learning, and I did that because the mindset I have grown has always been about taking action, not just going with the flow. If I wanted them to help me, if I wanted them to be successful, and if I wanted them to be on my team, I had to make them understand. I certainly couldn't wait for someone else to come rescue me and do what I could have done from the beginning. You, as a leader, are capable of the same things when it comes to growing talent, but not many will take the risks of seeing the execution all the way through. There are elements like fear, entitlement, emotions, and more that come into play and prevent other leaders from acting, first circle people. Their intentions are good, but their ability hasn't grown enough. It would be selfish of me to wait till tomorrow for others to do what I can do today. The risk I take is dangerous to my own well-being, but is certainly necessary. My tolerance grows thicker with each effort and allows me the strength and belief needed to start something like Secret Entourage and help thousands rather than hundreds. It is ultimately the practice of what we preach that makes us better and better at what we preach, and it is our ability that is showcased each day that drives the influence we discussed earlier on. For you to graduate this very important slice of the second circle known as leadership, you must be able to put yourself second to those you lead every day. No matter how tough the situation is, you must still be willing to give up your comfort, pleasure, or well-being for the sake of the bigger picture. This is very important, as it is the graduating slice that allows you to move on to the third circle, and there is no way around it. You have to take ownership of situations, regardless if they involve leading people or simply seeing an action through to its conclusion. The leader in you, and your ability to put people or causes ahead of yourself, must be understood before successfully venturing into the third circle. The next slice, even though in nature is second circle based, is not an absolute in your ability to move on, but an important skill to understand so you can remain steady traveling through the third circle. Perception. Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth. Marcus Aurelius. Previously, I explained that manipulation, as it pertains to leadership, is necessary in order to graduate the second circle and get closer to defining your existence. There is a component, however, in manipulation that plays a vital role for you in the second circle. Although not as pronounced as leadership in terms of importance, it is a very important skill set known as the manipulation of perception. Often used by self-help gurus to bring awareness to their product or service, perception is understanding what other people want, how they think, what they see, and then delivering them just that in a fashion that makes people believe in it. You could think of perception as the tool used to create belief, even if in yourself. As you master the elements of the first and second circles, you become a master manipulator of your emotions, reactions, and, more importantly, of that same environment which you witnessed for all those years. The same environment others around you are witnessing, and that you are part of, is now no longer authentic, but entirely created as you would want others to see you. Similar to the gurus who use material items like cars, homes, and watches that are not theirs to create an environment that others desire enough, they create a false sense of hope for others, in essence, to benefit themselves. The reason this industry is so highly distrusted is exactly that fake aspect of it that some create. In the second circle, you see that type of manipulation, and you not only don't believe it, but, with your good intentions, you see it as people being taken advantage of. You choose to fight it, especially if you have the power to. I myself fight it, as this industry does have a lot of great ideas and content to share, but is polluted by those manipulators who are in it solely for their self-gain. They truly ruin the nature of the industry itself. Mastering perception is critical, even though its relevance to your graduation to the third circle is not as highly weighed as the leadership piece. Nonetheless, it does hold relevance to actually helping you find why you exist. The perception element we discuss is not the same as fake it till you make it, and has no manipulative trait associated with it, but rather more about being fully aware of how others see you and the message you are selling by just being yourself every day. Too many people are too self-centered to care about how others perceive them, or they act as though they don't. Those who declare, "I don't care what others think," automatically contradict themselves. As humans who haven't mastered the emotional intelligence game, this response, by itself, is emotional. If you are more advanced in your mindset and have moved through the circle, you would respond to someone's dislike of you or your actions by asking, "Why?" Then, you would focus on how you presented yourself to be understood that way. This non-emotional and educational response enables you to tweak your delivery, so you will be closer to the way you seek to be understood. The third circle's definition is about selflessness. Seeing the world without emotional reactions enables you to view the world in its true form, which is unaltered by advertising and politics. Then, you must make sure that people understand you the way you wish to be understood. Even though they certainly don't all need to agree with you, you should still be conscious of how others see you. You are moving towards a place where you must examine the world from the outside in, rather than looking around you, and move ahead in the directions you are given. This increased field of vision helps you remain aware to more of what's going on around you. In the leadership section, I explain why people should follow you and how great leaders positively impact the lives of their followers, keeping their best interests at heart. If you plan to lead others, then you should be very much aware of how followers perceive you, so that you understand why they follow you. If you are always portraying the image of money, success, and extravagance, then perhaps they are following you for just that, and not from belief in your understanding of what you are working on. Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple, certainly made an enormous amount of money and was very influential to those he interacted with, but to this day, I couldn't tell you what his home looked like. However, I can tell you that he was a perfectionist and passionate towards his role at Apple. He showed us just what he wanted us to remember him for, his innovations, and not the life he lived outside of Apple. His message was consistent with the perception he created. Other established individuals do the exact opposite, by showcasing money, cars, and homes. In reality, they often have less than those who don't put their luxury lifestyle on public display. It is the perception they want others to see of them. This behavior often results from chasing money, and if you recall, the ones who chase money validate their existence through how much of it they've made. If you believe perception is based upon money, you are not ready to graduate this circle. The example of Steve Jobs works well here because he could have chosen to make his life's pursuits about money, but instead chose something other than himself to portray to others. Ultimately, that is exactly what people remember him for. His legacy will live on forever. Steve truly was Apple, and he represented it even before himself. Almost everyone with an iPhone knows the name Steve Jobs, but how many with Sony computers know the company's CEO? Money chasers are only remembered for money, which means they are rarely remembered at all. Mastering perception is about understanding the persona you display to others. With time, you learn to control the perception, making you an even better leader. Once you are willing to face up to your flaws and strengths, and are willing to see yourself for who you truly are, you will see the world for what it really is. The people who are not willing to face themselves fear what they might see. But whether you like or hate the circumstance you are in, the faster you accept who you are, the faster you can improve. The Second Circle Summary. The Awakening, the Leader, and the Achiever are all used to describe the different phases you go through in the Second Circle, and rightfully so. This is the phase in which you wake up from your dream. You realize and accept your true environment. Your mind becomes aware of the concepts of life. You lead others when you have gathered enough information. For the most part, a strong phase full of achievement motivates you to keep pushing ahead until you forget what you are pushing for. Despite not being good, it is necessary to push forward until you can form a purpose for why you push. Your ultimate goal in graduating the second circle is highly different from the first circle, where your focus was growth and personal development. While there is room to improve first circle attributes in the second circle, there is a greater emphasis on control over yourself and reinforcement of your logic over your emotions. You must learn to let go of your fears and insecurities, and instead, let your emotions remain within your control, rather than dictating your actions or reactions. If you are ready to graduate the second circle, you understand these concepts, and start to understand that the world you live in is simply too complex and too crowded for it to revolve around just you. This reality sparks the natural feeling that if your purpose in life is not about just having children and passing the baton to another generation, or perhaps about making money, then what could it possibly be? I know I cannot be the person who tells you what your purpose is, but if you lived in the second circle, you would know that before you even started reading this book. What I can do is share with you some unique experiences that can help you understand the path I chose to take in order to discover my own purpose. I can also break down the components that others can identify in their own lives in order to do that for themselves. As I studied the lives and stories of some of today's most well-known business owners and aligned my interpretations of my experiences in the grand scheme of things, I discovered that our paths all shared certain similarities. Those similarities can be acknowledged from experience again, but in four distinct categories that form the third circle. Chapter 8. The Third Circle. Comprised of the vision, the purpose, and the rebirth, the third circle is all about your quest for the validation of your existence. Despite it not being so clear right from the start, the third circle focuses heavily on the search for answers to some of life's most complex questions. When you achieve and understand the dynamics of society, you feel as though you are meant for more than just the same routine of going to work, making money, enjoying life, and retiring. You feel like there has to be more, and that you, perhaps, need to be the one to break the mold for others. This is a phase in your life that you can choose to pursue, although you might decide to hold back instead and continue your routine because it's just too demanding to find the answers you seek. Remember that most of today's greatest inventions, whether technological or process-based, all resulted from someone else's vision, belief, and passion, and all mixed together to create this powerful energy that enabled them to see it through to the end. Imagine the determination and drive it took Edison to stick to creating the light bulb when he failed 10,000 times. How many people actually have the energy and guts to repeat a process 10,000 times until they get it right? This powerful force overtakes you when you are purpose-driven rather than money-driven, because while the quest for money eventually gets old, the purpose never does. It becomes a question of efforts to reward ratio. If something doesn't make money after a while, then your mind ventures elsewhere and seeks out other options, even if that means giving up that idea or project altogether. Think about Edison. His goal wasn't to make money, but to create light. Analyze Steve Jobs' mission. It was not to create a computer that would make him money, but rather to simplify technology. The Wright brothers also had no intention of building airplanes, but rather wanted to enable man to take flight. The real difference is that their delivery was not about creating a product to monetize, but rather to bring an idea to life, in Edison's case quite literally, and it was often an idea that the majority either couldn't believe or understand. Think about how weird it must be for you to buy into the idea that a man from his garage can take the most advanced technology we have and simplify it. Or how about two guys in a barn simply say man shouldn't walk, but rather fly? As impossible as it may have seemed back then, these individuals defied the odds and reached for what they believed to be possible, not what society told them they could or couldn't do. They learned not only to live within the dynamics of the third circle, but also outside the boundaries of themselves and the circle itself. The third circle is the final stage of your life's path, where not only your existence is validated, but your life is destined by all your past experiences. It's your human side validating that your life was not meaningless. It wasn't for the constant pursuit of money, but rather for achievement and creating value. Remember that entering the third circle does not mean finding your purpose. Instead, you are working towards mastering the third circle itself to define your existence. The circle contains four essential steps you must take in order to be able to master its concept: vision, entrepreneurship, legacy, and lifestyle. Lifestyle. You've undoubtedly heard of the life/work balance and its importance in your growth. You have a human need to balance what you do with why you do it, so that you can replenish your energy and continue working harder towards your goals because you want to. In my own life, I have always lacked this balance. I am going to tell you why and how I never needed to take a day off. First of all, there is a significant difference between taking time off mentally and physically not going to work. Those who know me will tell you that I travel often, but yet never take a day off, partly because my mind is constantly on edge, analyzing all I see around me in order to help me find solutions for today or tomorrow as it pertains to my own legacy. When you reach a certain plateau in life, one where you find enough money to live comfortably, you choose to spend money on things that simply make you happier and encourage you to keep working. These things are not necessarily material-based and can also be based on donating time, investing money, or just about anything else that brings you emotional happiness. About 20% of your emotional happiness comes from money. Even though most pursue money their entire life, money itself creates only a small portion of your life's joy. The remaining 80% comes from fulfillment. What is odd about this distribution is that, despite knowing that money alone does not bring true happiness to people, those with enormous amounts exceeding their needs still choose to seek more, hoping their feelings towards the situation perhaps will change. If $10 million didn't bring you happiness, why would $20 million be any different? This is the false hope I described earlier, that some wealthy individuals convince themselves that more money will help them determine their purpose, or that making money is what they were meant to do. As you earn enough money and master different ways to make it, your lifestyle exposes you to yet another very important segment of society. Most measure success by lifestyle, but that is a highly inaccurate gauge, as success looks different to everyone. There are individuals who spend money on cars, homes, clothing, travel, and jewelry. While that's great, others reinvest the same amount of money elsewhere to attempt to earn more from it. Their tolerance to spending is different, based on their past experiences and observations, which forms their mindset today. Consider someone who earns $120,000 annually, and another person who has $250,000 saved but earns no salary. Both can afford to buy luxurious items, yet each one will look at the same scenario from two lenses. Buyer A, with a $120,000 income, will think of the expense as a $1,400 monthly payment, while buyer B, with the cash reserves, will view the purchase as 100% $1,000 less of security. While both attain the same lifestyle and items, each has a distinct reason why they would or wouldn't make that purchase. To the general public, the buyer with the expensive item has money, yet the person with the cash, technically, is in a much better position than the one with the income, even if they choose to not buy the car. Based on what buyer B observed in early childhood, she may or may not have the tolerance to let go half of her savings to fund a lifestyle based on luxury rather than need. The tolerance to spending will dictate how one person lives and is not a good determining factor of success. Lifestyle, as it pertains to success, should be determined by your exposure level. We discussed earlier that experiencing more of life enables you to understand more of its concepts. Lifestyle is the entry point into different worlds that not all are privileged to explore. If you think about the exposure that people with wealth of over $10 million have, as compared to those with working incomes of $100,000, you'll see a significant difference. Their global experience of luxury lifestyle concepts, services, and ideas afford them more exposure than most. As a result, their ideas encompass a broader range than those with a more limited, local, or nationwide scope. Travel is only one element of how lifestyle comes into the life equation, but it is certainly an important one. This also explains why immigrants work much harder than Americans in this country, as the foreign-born appreciate the value of employment. They worked much harder in their country for less money. Their past work habits to maintain their jobs allows them to excel, while others here, without that global experience of job shortages, have no fear of losing it. So, they work the least possible amount for the comfortable pay they receive. While the immigrants who come here in search of opportunities may choose to continue to work harder instead of taking a step back and pursuing and furthering their education. The lack of emphasis on educating themselves and pursuing their dreams keeps the majority of immigrants in labor-intensive jobs. Most Americans, in good economic times, will say that immigrants are needed because no American wants construction, cleaning, farm, or other labor-intensive jobs. Yet, in bad economic times, they also complain that immigrants are taking all the jobs and blame them for their unemployment. This mentality is ingrained in many Americans, blaming others for their misfortune rather than taking charge and accepting accountability. Those who are born in the U.S., who live here, and only experience this culture, remain unexposed to the global work habits, economy, and ideas existing all around us. One more element enables you to leverage lifestyle in your quest for purpose, the daily reminder that you are free, not bound to doing only what you are told, but rather what you want. You don't buy the house you need, but rather the house you want, and you certainly let this apply to other aspects of your life. Similar to just giving you an entry point into a new world, the freedom you earn with money and through lifestyle enables your mind to wonder and reinforces your understanding of time. You enjoy your time and no longer see the days as burdens and repetitive routines. In the third circle, you want more experiences, more freedom, and more information, while those who remain in the first circle only want to wake up to exist through another day. The key differentiator reinforces all the qualities of the first and second circles. Propelled by this distinction, you proceed into the third circle with velocity and drive, both of which you will certainly need prior to undertaking the entrepreneur and legacy slices coming up. Here is a quick story about how I leverage lifestyle in my own life. Over the past 10 years, I have owned more than 35 cars, the majority of which were exotic or luxury cars. While others said that it was a waste of money, or I simply couldn't make up my mind, I looked at this experience through an entirely different lens. When I didn't own exotic cars, I always wondered what it was like to be that guy who pulled up in front of the club in a Lamborghini, who went on car rallies in a Porsche, or who parked his Ferrari far from everyone at the mall. This curiosity led me to seek ways to become each individual person at some point or another in my life. More importantly, this desire drove me to constantly change cars in order to experience what it was like to own each model, despite the fact that some were superior to others and that my choice made no sense to anyone else why I would trade up or down. To me, owning these cars was never about finding the right one, but rather experiencing the feeling of owning them. In the end, I not only learned about individuals who bought each make or model of these cars, but also gained the understanding of how others perceive them, answering the question that motivated me in the first place. It was my way of knowing what it was like to be that guy, and also motivated and pushed me to unearth new ground in my own life. Being exposed to lifestyle not only allowed me to better understand people, but also to experience a level of freedom and observe a world previously closed to me, regardless of how much money I had saved. I looked at lifestyle as an investment in myself and continued to grow past this unknown world. Lifestyle opens doors for you so that you can be granted access into new worlds containing new information, which enables you to think globally. Then, you no longer limit what you deem possible just because you haven't witnessed them. Think about the boundaries of your thinking as wide as the possibilities of your vision. Vision. The vision shares its name with one of the main three attributes that this circle represents. It will most likely become your obsession for years to come. As mentioned earlier, your ability by now to identify the concepts and systems around you globally is highly advanced. It is now easier for you to see within the scope of 5 to 10 years rather than 1 to 3. Yet, it is still not clear as to where you fit in the equation. As you envision what the world could be, not just your current town or state, you seek to take advantage of any missing links. You understand that extraordinary people see more of life, so they should be able to achieve greater things and fix the world's problems, since you now see what those are. Now that you see where you fit into the gaps of society, it becomes easier for you to envision what the solutions would look like if patched or fixed. With your new skill set, it is easier to define whether the challenge is a fight you are prepared to tackle. A vision is not a dream, but rather a look through the what-if lens based on your past experiences. Vision is like your roadmap to life, or your life goal, and navigating without it will be difficult. If you don't engage in entrepreneurship, it is usually caused by a lack of clear vision. Either you can't see what someone else sees through their vision, or you haven't built the skills necessary to have a vision for yourself. Your limited experiences that you defined in the first circle have left you short-sighted. You can only see 1 year ahead at the most. Vision is not always based on business ideas, and can certainly relate to envisioning the life you want for yourself, but, as I said earlier, you must do more than merely say you want a castle and Ferrari one day. Vision is about believing in the what-if you can see, combined with the belief described in the first circle, which comes from enough information to create curiosity and acceptance of the information. If you live in the third circle, you are more aware and capable than those in the first. You have mastered the ability to act rather than react and are no longer a byproduct of your environment. You no longer sit there just waiting for things to happen to you. When you couple your vision with all the attributes from the first and second circles, you have a strong foundation on which to build your vision. A good path appears in front of you, and the map is clearer than ever. On the other hand, if you see such vision but have yet to learn and master the attributes in the first two circles, you probably don't have the skill set required to transform your vision to life. The failure alone in this case will actually enhance your awareness even more and be part of the learning experiences of the first and second circles. Ideas that come from time to time are also not visions and certainly don't act as a driving force strong enough to kickstart the change you seek. Vision only becomes reality when new belief is created, belief which is not already in existence in nature, but rather being created through vision. Belief that you will have to get others to follow you on, using your ability to speak of your vision. Your vision is contagious. It is this greater belief that very few people experience in their lives. As a result, you acquire followers and start an empire. Figures like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Henry Ford, Richard Branson, Walt Disney, Sam Walton, and many more had visions of what the future could look like of their idea as they imagined it came to life. Their visions are no different than yours, but their belief in themselves at the time was strong, and their confidence enabled them to launch their empires despite all odds. Steve Jobs started Apple from his garage. Walt Disney was fired from his job because he was told he lacked imagination. Both men became icons that will be remembered forever because they had the courage to start something they believed in, even though others considered their endeavors a waste of time. An idea is nothing without a proper execution. Vision gives birth to ideas. Nonetheless, vision itself is an attribute that comes from your ability to see ahead a few years further than the 98% who live in the first and second circles. Because you can position yourself in front of the upcoming change others cannot anticipate or predict. Once you do that, you go into my favorite phase, entrepreneurship. Entrepreneur. The entrepreneur stage in the third circle is one of the determining factors for your graduation. All other slices are prerequisites to being able to master this specific skill set. As you see more of life and understand more of the concepts that could trap you, you come to the decision that you simply can't spend the rest of your life building other people's dreams. You feel that you are too valuable from a mindset standpoint to take orders from individuals who don't understand you or your capacity. It is a realization that you want to seek more of life rather than confine yourself in your comfort zone. You have a growing desire to step away from the mediocre teams and groups in which you spent your younger work years. You decide to seek the alternative path of entrepreneurship. No job or assignment doled out by others fits you anymore. You realize that you no longer want to be part of the rat race. At this point, you are highly motivated to take on the immense challenge of building something from nothing. Your confidence is the roof as you are now navigating through the third circle, and your belief in yourself is increasing as you discard all the things you no longer want. When you undertake entrepreneurship, you do so within a realm of your passion or existing work line. Yet, very often you focus on what you are good at rather than on widening your horizon. Skills are important because you can see what you are naturally good at and find ways in multiple industries that you can impact. I spent many years working in banking, leadership, people management, investing, and real estate. When I started making money in real estate and finance, I didn't consider myself an entrepreneur, and I certainly wasn't the type of entrepreneur we are discussing here, as no innovation occurred, only income. I knew how to make money, and I had discovered various ways of making it. Despite not working for somebody else, these ventures didn't bring me any additional value over working for someone else. Yes, I was making more money, but that was a selfish aspect that didn't bring value to anyone but me. While many people consider anyone with their own business an entrepreneur, I have a different view. When I finally focused my energy and skill on leadership and talent management, I found my true passion and what I believe to be my purpose. Entrepreneurship, in the context of the third circle, is about innovation and advancement, not self-employment. Self-employment is about risk tolerance, not entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is about envisioning something that doesn't exist and then having the ability and mindset to bring it to life. This innovation must be a new creation and not a bridge to facilitate a technology, as those also have very short lifespans and only survive as long as the technology does, which is usually less than 5 years. Innovation is the driver of entrepreneurship. It is about giving birth to something new. When you have an idea that you believe underscores the principles of your strengths and changes the playing fields of society, then your reach is as high as your past observations, which translates into belief. Remember that you can achieve anything you believe, but certainly will fall short if you aim low. Michelangelo said, "The greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it." You can only go as far as you believe you can go. I explained in the first circle that belief is based on your past observations, which lead to why you shouldn't take on entrepreneurship too early. So many people want to work for themselves, and everyone wants to be the next success story at a young age, but very few people undertake that challenge for the right reasons. They don't have the right mindset, experience, and background to know why they do, and therefore either aim too low too early or aim too high without being armed with the ability and past experiences to hit the target. Most of the people who fit this description are motivated by money, not by innovation and value. Winning in entrepreneurship is not about being selfish, as those that focus on money are. Consider what we discussed earlier about the constant pursuit of money and the reason why this never-ending quest leads nowhere than just the accumulation of more money. You end up chasing something that, down the road, will hold no relevance. When you are ready to take on entrepreneurship, it is because you are ready to no longer be part of the system that society has created for you to fit in. You realize that your mind is so advanced that there has to be a reason for your unique vision. When you embrace that reality and your vision aligns to your ability, the most unique gift of them all is born. That gift is called an idea. Legacy. The word legacy comes to mind when you feel that you've identified your purpose. But legacy itself is very different from purpose, because purpose is based on belief, and legacy is based on education and ability. Legacy doesn't have to originate from having children, nor does it have to do with religious beliefs or practices. We all want to be remembered, and we somehow feel that children will carry on our name and our legacy. But that logic excludes two critical elements. First, children will not always carry your name in the way you want to be remembered, and second, it is unfair to expect them to win when you failed by giving up. When you are stuck in the first circle and the word legacy comes into play, you think of your children or even having children. The reaction is frequently, "I will give my child everything I never had." We want to fill a void in our own lives. I will go as far as saying that it is quite selfish to expect others to accomplish what you couldn't and putting all your dreams and hopes on their shoulders rather than your own. Understand that your children hold no relevance to your legacy. They themselves will create their own, which will differ from yours, so it will mean nothing to your future. What you have or don't have does not dictate if you are remembered or not. What you have or don't have is not a measure of your success or a measure of your intelligence or mindset. It is nothing more than your success rate at mastering the game of society, not the game of life. It is outlined for you to go from the first circle to the second because society has made it such for you. They have established all the steps needed to succeed in life and have made it easy for you to know that if you do X and get to Y, then Z is right around the corner. Society has taken the thinking out of being successful. And yet, despite all the steps, roadmaps, and proven strategies there to help us, people still choose to not conform or follow through on being successful. What society doesn't do is make you aware of this third circle. This overarching cultural guard actually does a great job of protecting you from seeing it or venturing in the direction of this circle, because doing so would mean losing you as a member of this system they created. It does so by creating a comfort zone for you, through debt and a stable income, and then reminding you of your dependency on the system to retain this newly gained comfort zone. When you start questioning what your legacy is and how you can be remembered, you look at your actual accomplishments and how any or all of them can be actually remembered past your death. You then have to question if they are a correct portrayal of how you would want to be remembered. Many people never overcome their fear of death simply because they feel there are still so many things they want to accomplish. For me, although additional time would allow me to do even more, I can comfortably say that I have no regrets. I have done and seen some amazing things, both for myself and those around me. Legacy ties directly into true entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship is such a lonely road. There are so many unknown variables that make it so hard for just anybody to take the course. Since ideas are unique to each individual, it makes it impossible for others to bring your business ideas to life. This very unique idea becomes your idea, and, as a result, reminds you that there is more at stake than just making money. There is the creation of legacy. This feeling is what enabled you to finish what you started, despite the obstacles, failures, and more. This feeling is what makes you feel purposeful rather than part of a machine. It empowers you to create the change you envision and gives you the strength to stand up each and every time you fall. Yet it is nothing more than a false position, as it is not how your purpose was created. This particular stage in your evolution is how you become curious about what your purpose is. You never experienced a feeling as amazing. You simply believe that this new direction you feel in your heart must be what you were born to do. You believe that destiny is the reason your idea is coming to life and everything else aligns with it. But it is simply an illusion. The reality is that the force driving you is your ability to connect the dots for everything that happens and your understanding of the systems that allow you to truly bring your idea to life. This feeling that everything will be okay is nothing more than an enhanced feeling of self-acceptance and self-belief. This feeling of passion is only the beginning of the true journey ahead, and a feeling that you will soon never be able to live without. What you define as your legacy will hold a significant impact on your purpose, because, as you remember from the first circle, belief is a combination of education and awareness. Therefore, if you define your legacy based on education, it will help form the belief of your purpose. Now that you have defined what your legacy looks like, the time has come to embrace the final act of the third circle theory, the removal of yourself from the equation of life. Chapter 9, A Selfless Final Act. Before you make your mark on the world and your existence truly matters to the general public, you must learn that this enduring mark is not about you anymore, or your existence, as amazing as that may seem to you, is indeed a minuscule detail in the big picture of your life. You must learn how insignificant your problems are to the world before you can make sure to justify your significance through your actions. If you died tomorrow, what would be different for the world around you? The idea of making and leaving your mark on the world is not about making everyone remember you, because, as we discussed in the first few pages, the third circle theory is about removing yourself from the equation, not placing yourself in the center of it. Making your mark is first about deciding what you want to be remembered for, and then being able to find where that fits into the world you live in or the one you want to impact. In the diagram for the third circle theory, we see that mastering the third circle means having the tools necessary to disconnect yourself from your emotions so you can look at the world from a third perspective, one where you mean nothing. You must be able to accept that the world doesn't revolve around you, and only you control how you feel about the world and those in it. The circumstance of your life, the places you live, and the society you belong to are nothing more than a fabrication. The feeling of belonging to a religion, group, business, organization, or anything else is one that is created by you and therefore in your control. It is not one that you consciously fabricated from the experiences, people, and environments you witnessed till today. Allowing yourself to comprehend that everything you see around you is the same fabrication through someone else's perspective allows you to understand the depth of all the concepts around you. You must truly understand that the surrounding you live in is a fabrication of what others deemed necessary to create the society you live in today. From your faith to your beliefs, all of them are a reflection of your observations. Think about this. Those people you observed also observed others to be the way they are, which means just about everyone is a copy of someone who has influenced them. If you understand that, no matter how you feel, think, or what you believe, it simply doesn't matter because it is all false. You tend to not understand how it is possible that everything you have been conditioned to see till today is nothing but a creation by others. Once you get to this stage of disconnect from the world you live in and see reality for what it is, not for what you are shown, you start to understand all those concepts we discussed in the circles. You see how our society manipulates everyone in it like a giant game, where all of us play a role. You identify the role you are meant to play, but then choose to no longer play. You realize how quickly someone else replaces your role, and the system continues to operate without you. The same occurs when you die. Those around you remember you for a few years, and the machine of life continues to move on. And while you may think you genuinely lived a good life, you will take all your memories with you, unless, of course, there is a reason for others to remember you. The reason must be that you impacted them, or the system they lived in, on a large enough scale that they will be compelled to remember. Keep in mind that the majority of the world lives for themselves and their own gain, pleasure, and emotional satisfaction. While you can certainly now say you understand why you shouldn't live selfishly, you also relate to the fact that people only remember what's important to them. Removing yourself from the equation is almost like asking the world, "What is that I can do to serve you?" and finding in those answers, "What ability do I have that matches the needs of the world?" Doing what I am asking you to do is not easy, and there is a reason that only 2% succeed to become true visionaries. Although difficult, the achievement brings you something that 98% of the world doesn't have and will never feel truly in their heart and soul, and that is peace. The peace that, if you died tomorrow, you could look back and say, "I used my time while alive exactly as I would have wanted to." You have to understand that, despite your tenure, wealth, education, and all the other items you accumulated throughout the years, you are no different than the local homeless guy you meet down the street, and you are neither richer nor less fortunate than your neighbor who owns a beautiful home. You are human, and just like the rest of humanity, your mark on the world is established through your actions, not your emotions. When you graduate the third circle, you have mastered control over your emotions and understand your place. As you look at life and your environment through a non-emotional lens, you can see the entire picture, the 360-degree, non-altered, non-edited or manipulated environment in which others live without a clue to all the forces out there driving their decisions, logic, and actions. With this new ability to look at life from the third-party lens, you can identify opportunities much faster and see gaps in the system that you may be able to impact and change. I can agree that the state of mind may not seem like a happy place, possibly a world without pleasure, But ultimately, it is a place that not only affords you the power to reach beyond what others have accomplished, but enables you to create changes for society and work from a much more significant place than one where money dictates everything. If you live in the third circle and graduate past it, you are not without fears, but rather in control over your fears and over your ability to face your emotions. Think about your friends' poorly managed relationships. Everyone has one of those friends. The two people are unhappy, they fight, and they can never agree on anything, yet they profess to love each other and stick around. Despite hating each other most of the time, they are unable to separate. No matter which circle you live in, you tend to have an opinion about why they should break up, but they certainly don't realize this because of that emotional block that keeps them from acting. That same block that doesn't exist in this case because you are not part of the equation. It is much easier for you to say, you should break up, because you don't have to deal with the emotional response and pain that comes with ending a relationship. Even though you are right, they are most likely not a fit and wasting precious time, they still won't act on this until something bad happens and they admit you were right. Until then, however, their first